In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I must say that was probably one of the longest walks I've had in my life. Not much that could have gone wrong there, trying to negotiate through a choir, an orchestra, follow the verger, and pretend that I'm not worried about tripping over my cassock. I must also apologize. I know that this looks like one of those very old movies where the picture doesn't go with the sound. But it is a privilege to be here with you in the midst of so many young people and those responsible for them, parents and teachers, and the church, all those who contribute to that wonderful journey. Today's readings are especially moving. The first, Nehemiah. What a wonderful vision. He had gone and found that the walls of his beloved city had fallen, were destroyed, and the gates were burnt. And so his heart was moved to rebuild. And he realized he couldn't have done that alone. That was the first great realization. Today's world teaches us to be individual and independent. But that does not mean that we are not part of something which is much greater, a much greater whole that makes us more effective. You, of all people, will know that today. In a choir that sings so beautifully, in an orchestra that plays so masterfully, in a school that runs like clockwork, in students who act as one body, and in parents who support their children through a single journey. That's what it means for us to be together. That's what it means for us to be united. But being united comes with its privileges, but also comes with its responsibilities. The privilege is, as Nehemiah said to his people, we are separated, but there is a trumpet. And when the trumpet sounds, come to us, come together. There is that collective protection that we stand together, that we stand for something that we share. And there is so much that we share. Today, as we see the world suffering, we also see a lot that we can do. Not necessarily at the global level, because there are some who will do that, but our very own personal level, what we ourselves can do. We've seen so much generosity from the British people for so many disasters that have happened around the world. A seemingly small donation from a child in a part of England becomes something which is much greater, that helps people who are in need thousands of miles away. That trumpet that sounds today must call us to come together. Unfortunately, through social media and through the world that we have around us, it's easy to become spectators, couch analysts, to be those who are sitting in the relative comfort of their own front rooms, watching the world and those who go through things thousands of miles away, and it becomes just that, watching, onlookers. When I attend services at Westminster Abbey, I'm always minded to look at a wonderful monument that is just outside, just within the walls. And the monument is that to the unknown victim. And inscribed around the outside of this circular monument are the words, "What is it to you who walk on by?" Are we those who walk on by? Or are we those who look at the needs of those closest and those farthest away? Are we the ones who will hear the trumpet and feel it's somebody else's problem, somebody else's issue, somebody else's catastrophe? Or do we have a heart that God has given us for so many around us? See, it's wonderful in the book of Genesis when God asks one brother, "Where is your brother?" And his response is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, what is our answer ourselves? Are we our brother's keepers? What happens when we see people who are suffering among us? The students here, if you see someone suffering on your playground. The teachers, if you see someone suffering in your classroom. The parents, if you see someone suffering in your community. Are we each other's brother's keepers? Of course we are. And this community, this Abbey today, brings together so many moving parts of a much greater entity that means we have a shared and common journey. In our nation at the moment, we face turmoil, uncertainty. We've had months of people telling us how we should vote, and now that we've voted, people telling us we shouldn't have voted in a certain way. And now that we've done that, what's the future? You see, this isn't a time for separation. It's not a time for the wheels to fall off this well-oiled machine, but a time for that trumpet to sound and for us to come together. For it is only in that coming together that we fulfill our greatest power. Those football fans among you would have seen two teams in particular during this last European tournament, Iceland and Wales. Against all odds, against all possibility, they showed us something we didn't expect. I don't think I've ever done it before, but I'm going to quote Gareth Bale from the pulpit. I think that's okay. Who actually said yesterday in an interview that for us, the team is the star. There is no star. And that's what Nehemiah said as well. For us, the team is the star. It's the fact that we built this wall. And once we've built this wall is going to be the symbol of our collective action, but it is also, once it is completed, going to be the means of our collective protection. Now, please don't confuse the wall I'm speaking about with the wall that certain presidential candidates on the other side of the pond are speaking about. Because one is for protection, the other is for exclusion. And we are not those who exclude. We are those who embrace, who incorporate, who love against all odds and against all logic, even our enemies. That is our difference in our message as Christians. Our Lord Jesus Christ says to those looking on, "Of course it's easy for you to love those who love you. What is not easy, what is not instinctive, is for you to love those who spitefully persecute you. Those who don't love you, who in fact maybe even hate you." Now, it's difficult for me as an individual to just do that on my own. But when I know that I'm part of something bigger, the body of Christ, the Christian family, the church of God around the world, when I know that I am not the only one building this wall, because I could build my own little piece of wall to protect my heart from hatred, from injustice, from jealousy, from greed, But then I'll get things coming in from parts of the wall that are not built. But when we're building together, when I'm part of something greater, then I am stronger. A school is a place of learning. But a school is also a community. And I must say that having read some of your school history, I understand that at one stage, a certain part of your school precincts was the local prison. I hope things have improved for you. But that shows that the school is part of a community. When people see you in your uniforms, you stand for something. I remember being a prefect in my own school growing up, having to wear my uniform in a certain way because I represented something greater. Even today, when I dress like this, and this is how I always dress, I represent something. This is what distinguished me as a bishop. This is my monastic headdress. I remember being in Regent's Park, and a young boy, probably of about 4, saw me getting out of the car and bedazzled. Look, went to his mother, grabbed her hand, came up and said, "Look, ma'am, Batman." Now, I was horrified to squash his dreams. He had not met the caped Dark Knight. But I represent what I represent in wearing what I do, and so do you. These gowns that your teachers wear, that your staff wear, means they represent something. And there's one other thing that we wear that means we represent something much greater: the image and likeness of God. As God's creation, we all share that. It is that deepest, innermost part of us that God created in His image, according to His likeness, that we all share. When you look into the eyes of any other human being, man, woman, young, old, Christian, of faith or of no faith, that image and likeness exists within. And that is what we love. And that is what we can forgive. And that is how we are each other's keepers. I want to conclude with the reflections of St. Paul in his epistle, who says to us that we are not alone again, because the light that we depend on is the light that God Himself has called out of the darkness. That is the power that is in us. I'm not alone, you're not alone, we in this abbey are not alone, we in this nation are not alone, but we are part of a body of Christ, indeed the body of Christ, that is still separated, but that we're working to put together. And that body of Christ is what holds us together to be His example. So no matter what we face, the perplexity, the discomfort, the confusion, we need to understand from St. Paul's words himself that we are definitely not crushed, that we are definitely not in despair, that we are definitely not broken. We are His body, fulfilling His will, living according to His image and likeness, standing together to build that wall that protects us all against sin, against persecution, against greed, and against anger. And it is in that that we also find our collective protection in Him, through Him, with Him. And glory be to God forever.